There we go, made it back. Hello,
Hello.
hello.
Oh,
Guruji.
Jai Guru.
Jai.
I'm putting it back to speaker view because people complained that we were all in little boxes again. So can never make everybody happy. But the last recording, evidently, we were all in like little tiny squares. So one of the questions that came in over the website was, why are you guys in little tiny squares instead of being full like you usually are? So is a question.
Very philosophical.
Indeed, yes.
Form inquiring on form.
Yes.
Very funny.
And wanting it to be in a specific way, this form.
Yeah.
Oh,
And that's what. Oh, man.
What was the line? I missed it.
No,
Nice to see
we
everyone.
got a question in on the website that last week, why were you guys all in little boxes instead of in the one big box like you usually are? And it was because I forgot to click speaker view or gallery view, whichever one that I it wasn't, I forgot. So
Okay.
yeah, the formlessness was crying about the arrangement of form.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, not to be disrespectful to the person, because they'll listen to this and say, oh, that was terrible. So
I'm pretty touchy sometimes myself.
there you go. See? If there's a self that can be touched, oh, we just have to erase that one.
Which am I well, as long as we're on the subject of touching, I noticed that gradually, I guess, I can't say it happens it's all the time, but I take two steps back, two st three four steps forward or whatever, but it seems like when it seems like lately I'm been Recently, I've been able to notice when I am taking a touch more, and what that actually means. It's not like I can stop taking the touch per se, but by recognition that I am taking the touch and doing the mantra along with it also helps. It seems like it's a little bit not something I do, but the touch gets released or something. I'm not taking the touch as prominently or as easily, or it's just I could say, well, this is something that I'm learning and that I'm doing, but it's a little bit different than that. It's just kind of make it's becoming e gradually easier, I guess, to not take the touch.
The knowledge is settling in that everything that comes and goes is not myself. And so it's not that you're losing yourself or gaining yourself. Sometimes you're getting lost in the illusion, and sometimes you are remaining with your selfless self. And then there are times where you notice that you've gotten lost in the illusion, and you just have to remain with your selfless self. Because the illusion comes and goes, and you know everything that comes and goes. Everything that's subject to time is not myself. So remaining formless. Formless, what is formless? Formless can't have time. And anytime I think or anytime I start to feel like I'm taking the touch or whatever, I just remain with the formless nature. Or even I remind myself, oh, wait a minute, I'm not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain body. So this formlessness, I am. And if I have a question, the first thing I should ask myself is, whose question is this? Because it has to be a question about a body-based existence that isn't true. And I have to take myself as a body in a world to ask a question of any kind. Because in my formless true nature, what question can arise? I think about death. Okay, well, I'm formless. How does this concept of death apply to me? Okay, I think about birth. How does this concept of birth apply to me? I think about, oh, my job or the traffic. Well, how does this concept of traffic and birth apply to me, my true nature, my selfless self, the formlessness that I am? This is a play of form. It comes and goes, but I do not come and go. All of this is appearing on spontaneous presence. Just I, just I.
Also, you have, in order to, you said you have to form a sense of a self to ask a question, and then, but you also have, at the same time, you're forming a sense that something is there, an object to take, to ask a question about.
Exactly. And that's all illusion. So every question is just about the illusion. So why not remain with the reality? Because the questions in the illusion are endless. You know, that's where you have Brahman, and is this Brahman, that Brahman, and Vishnu, and who's the destroyer, and then who's this, and who's that, and am I supposed to do service? Am I supposed to have a family life? All of these things are in the illusion. So remaining with yourself, the self, these are all seen. Oh, this is all about the illusory body-based existence, and I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. So that's finished. What happens to me when I die? Well, I'm formless. I know this. That's my true nature. So this form will dissolve within my own formlessness that I am, as will all the forms. But they're all illusion because they come and go, and you are not coming and going. You are there and there only. Where all experience ends, there you are. Even this experience of I exist, this subtle sense of presence, when this is no more, you are.
Oh. John, can you turn on my video?
Oh, yes. Let's, here we go. Ask to start video. And you should be able to, there you go. Hello.
No.
It occurred to me that there's a hint, I could call it a hint, that whenever a sense of a self arises, along with that, there's a sense of a possible object. So evidently the subject. Sense of a subject always arises with a sense of an object. So in a sense, that's always the case. So in that sense, it's non-dual because it's always the case. But then to think that that's a hint is also to conceptualize the recognition that it is non-dual. So you can, it's very easy to fall into conceptualizing even that which is not conceptualizable.
Well, remember, duality and non-duality, when did you come across with this? With the body, with beingness. Mm-hmm. And the sense of duality is I exist because I know my existence as something other than myself. Oh, there's a sense of existence that's other than myself. Mm-hmm. Just myself. There's no sense of existence because there's nothing above it that can be measured as, oh, there's this sense of existence, which then this world appears and then all of, no, it's just, that's why Maharaj says the something dissolves back into the nothing because it's nothing. There's the appearance of something. Oh, I exist. Now there's this duality because I exist. I know of my existence. Therefore a knower is created. And along with this knower has created so many other things, all these concepts. And the world of concepts births millions of worlds. And you get lost. So you recede, recede, recede. This sense of existence appeared to that which existed and did not know I exist. As soon as the I exist appeared, there was I exist. The birth of this I am something. Even as a formless something, I know of my existence.
And then another possible stumbling block or something that this still makes me, even me, raise questions is, okay, we're talking about things, concepts not existing and then forming concepts and senses of being. But then I can look at that. Okay, that's all mental stuff. But what about the physical? Can I really be aware that even the physical doesn't exist?
Of course, remain with your selfless self. All these things are just layers upon presence.
Because the physical stuff, like the five elements form a conglomeration into a body.
When did you come across with the five elements? You came across with the five elements when you came across with the body as this is me. I exist as something. So prior to beingness, there were no five elements. Prior to beingness, you didn't have to describe how the five elements were because there was no one who desired to describe this, nor was there any creation of this five elemental something that appeared in the nothing. And everything that appears in the something is only for a time because in reality, it's an appearance within the nothing. Prior to beingness, that's why Maharaj does that all the time. When somebody asks a question about something, well, prior to beingness, did you know about any Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, Master? No.
Him saying that doesn't connect with me, doesn't really...
But think about this, even thinking intellectually for a moment. Beingness, this sense of existence, has appeared. This is a very, very subtle sense of presence. That's sort of the first concept, I exist, on which all other concepts are built. So prior to this sense of existence, which is prior to beingness, what was there?
I'd have to say I don't know.
And everything appeared on that sense of existence. Everything has appeared on spontaneous presence. There's nothing. That nothing that you are is everything. And this something has appeared, and this something will disappear. Keith won't die. There never was a Keith. John won't die. There never was a John. There's no John and Keith.
It makes me think that there is some kind of a little twist that goes on. And then I want to explain it there's a little twist that makes it seem like things exist.
Because mind is trying to logically put together the puzzle of existence. And mind came along with the body. Mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. And you're not body. And body came along with the sense of I exist, along with the presence, along with the five elements, and you're prior to that. Prior to the first word. So any words that you use to describe the existence that is non-existent all came along with the body. Because prior to beingness, there were no words. Prior to the first word, you are, because that first word was spoken. Now, the first word was spoken through, let's say, mind or consciousness. But prior to that, you are. Just like at nighttime, you're in a deep sleep. There's nothing. Then suddenly this sense of existence, just a very, very subtle sense, I exist. Boom, a dream world's created and populated. And then you're a little dream guy inside this dream. It's the same with this waking state dream. If at all you want to compare, compare yourself to sky or space.
I read something recently where a guy, he's kind of like became enlightened or whatever. He woke up or whatever. And he said that at least for a while, he said he forgot what it was like to have dualistic sense of existence. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, again, the waking up occurs within the dream. The sense I am awake comes within the dream. Prior to beingness, there was no sense of being awake or asleep. Nor was there waking state, sleep, or the sense of existence. I am. None of these.
No gender, no.
No, it's formless.
So when he said, I forgot what it's like to sense in a dualistic sense, there's still an ability of consciousness to recognize that it's not no longer sensing in a dualistic way. But then again, you have to use, since you're putting that, even that statement or recognition into words, the dualistic sense is creeping into it just to make that statement, kind of.
You know, any statement you make about yourself is false. You can make no true statement about yourself. Even I am formless is not a true statement about yourself. The concept of duality and non-duality came along with the body. Prior to beingness, there was no non-duality, no duality, no consciousness. Like Maharaj says, no consciousness, no unconsciousness, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing.
Although they do talk about conscious and unconscious at times pointing to the fact that there is no difference or whatever.
Well, and through the body base. When I sit there and I say, okay, I have individual consciousness and I have universal consciousness, it's because, and when we say, okay, when this body drops, the individual consciousness merges with universal consciousness, but that's only from the perspective that I am something. Consciousness, unconsciousness, universal consciousness, individual consciousness are concepts within the body-based existence. That's why Maharaj rightly says, all body knowledge came along with the body. All body relations came along with the body. Everything you believe you know came along with the body. And none of that is true.
One thing that does become really convincing that it's the body that's real is when you feel pain. And you really take that self-consciously, like that's me feeling the pain. It's a tricky area for me.
Well, the body has sensory input to be able to move about in this five elemental world. It's all illusion, just like your dream body. If you were to have a dream tonight and somebody stabbed you, in within your dream, I'm sure you're going to experience pain. And even when you wake up from that dream, you might say, oh, okay. No, I'm not stabbed. I'm okay. Everything's okay. Because of that's identification with the body.
It makes me think about, okay, if my actual body, my physical body, gets stabbed, it's going to take, then it's going to stab. The wound is going to be there, and it's going to take time to heal. But all
the body.
Yeah.
But the formless holder of the body is not affected. That's why I think the Bhagavad Gita says you cannot burn or separate or none of these things, because you're formless. So yes, this body's a very fragile body, actually. This five elemental lump of goo that I've identified with for a time is fragile. It can be harmed and injured, but you cannot be. The space within the pot and the space outside of the pot are not affected by the pot if the pot breaks. And the presence within this body, which is not actually within this body, it's all around, and all of these bodies are occurring within you. Again, much like the dream.
Another tricky part for me is, I'll start to getting a sense that I'm the self of self, and I feel like better than I ever felt before. I feel free and blissful or whatever. And then, just recognizing that as if it's me that's feeling good. So that's probably part of what draws me back into a sense of taking the touch, because if I start to compare it to or thinking that freedom is me or something.
Well, again, dipping your cup into the nectar of immortality and being with that selfless self-intoxication without an identification that I am selflessly intoxicated.
Yeah, somehow identification wants to creep back in there, though.
And when it does, then there's no longer selfless self-intoxication.
Right.
Now you're kind of like, if you're actually intoxicated and you eat a big meal, you lose that intoxication. So if you're selfless self-intoxication and it's just I, just this subtle bliss of being, and then you start to add things to it, it's the same as having a heavy meal. You'll no longer feel that bliss of being.
You don't even notice that it's disappearing, but all of a sudden you feel like your old boring self again.
And just know that that's an illusory self. Mm-hmm. The true self, there's no thought. There's no world. And yet, of course, because you're holding a body, you're going to see a world. Like, it's not like, you know, oh, I suddenly know myself and now the world doesn't exist and I'm like kind of floating around in stars and such. No, you're using a body in a world within the dream, knowing that you're the formless holder of the body. That there will be sensory inputs, and that's how Maharaj says, you do your job, do your duties, do everything to the best of your ability. Enjoy the dream. But do not lose your position, your positionless position, that you are the selfless self in which this entire world has appeared.
How would you say humbleness takes place within that?
You're nothing. Can't be any more humble than that. Yeah. I'm not a doer. There's no deed. There's nothing. All these are appearances. And that's it.
And any anti-humbleness is just going to be part of the dream, I guess.
Well, egoistic sense of I am doing something. Oh, look at how good my spirituality is going. Let me go tell the world. Oh, look at how good my spirituality is going. Let me go, you know, these poor souls out there who, and sometimes you'll hear when people are saying like, oh, how to do this, these people, they're not very spiritual and this and that, but you remain with yourself, the self. You're nothing. They're nothing. There is nothing.
Yeah, I made a mistake. I backed myself into a corner the other day. I was talking to my girlfriend. I was trying to convince her that there's a much better way to feel and exist or something, as if I knew what I was talking about.
Well, and again, there's spontaneous speaking. You know, you'll know the difference. If you're speaking with an egoistic sense of I am a speaker and someone's listening.
Yeah, at the time I was.
You can feel that.
Yeah, at the time I was, and it just kind of backfired.
Yeah, you have to be careful because then you'll have no girlfriend and then there will be nothing. She will be nothing but a figment of your imagination because you won't be there anymore.
It was like I was getting into argumentative mode, like I know what I'm talking about, kind of like. And that, then I recognized, oh shit, what did I just do?
Yeah, you can't argue when you're nothing. And when you're positionless, you can't take a position. When you know yourself, there's no others. So what's the point of arguing or convincing? Who is to be convinced? That's also why Nisargadatta Maharaj has said, you know, if somebody says you're a very bad saint, he's not depressed. If somebody says you're a very great saint, he's not impressed. Because they're speaking about nothing. The only thing that you can praise or say nasty things about is this body form. You have to A, take yourself to be a body, and B, I have to take myself to be a body to accept this insult. Otherwise, I'm formless. I remain with my selfless self. And again, that's where we talk about the stickiness on the wall. There's nothing to hang the hat on. If I have a hook of this is John, and John wants to appear a certain way, or John wants to, you know, look this way or that way, then there's a hook. And if my hook gets hooked, then John, that I believe myself to be, will take offense. But there's no offense if you're formless. Who's they're speaking about whom? Only because of the body-based perspective. And then you can even go one step deeper of, if I remain with my formless self, then it's as if nothing has happened. If I take the touch, it's because there's a formation of a John that's taking the touch of what's being said. If you remain with your selfless self, then it's a blip, a spontaneous happening that's no longer happening. Just to rise up, rise down, rise up, rise down. No big deal. As Maharaj has used the example about the very great saint, who the guy was sitting up in the tree and said, I will irritate this saint, and spat on him 50 times. And his reaction was, oh, I had 50 nice baths. That's all. Because there was no one there identifying that I am being harmed by someone else, or that I'm taking the touch of being harmed. Now, that would take a lot. I mean, I don't think, you know, somebody's spitting on you 50 times. At the very least, you'd probably go the other way.
What was that? You'd go do what?
The other way. Instead of walking back where that guy is in the tree, you'd say, okay, take the touch temporarily and change course. Right. Not going to go where this guy's spitting. But no, that's to show you, like Maharaj says, absolute patience, absolute tolerance. And we spoke about a long time ago about the stepping on the toes of the train and how that experience was, okay, there's someone stepping on the toes, but unless I take the touch that there's someone else stepping on the toes, it's a momentary blip and that's finished. Because it's two body forms that the formless presence is moving about within your own self.
And actually, we do that all the time. I mean, we, you know, somebody bumps into us and we don't take it personally, but we take other things personally. So we blow it.
Sometimes. That's what empty boat. You know, you're sitting out in a lake in your boat. Suddenly a boat, and you're very relaxed and enjoying your day, and suddenly a boat smashes into you. And of course you get up and you're like, oh, I want to give this person a piece of my mind, but the boat's empty. So to whom are you going to vent your frustration? And to whom are you going to say they did this on purpose or they should watch where they're going? No, because it's an empty boat. And when I view all of the forms in this so-called world as empty boats, then to whom am I going to say, oh, this shouldn't happen this way, or that shouldn't happen this way, or I don't like that? And I don't have to empty their boat, because when I know myself in a real sense, how can there be anyone else? How can there be other?
Seems so simple sometimes, and other times it seems so tricky. And
well, it becomes tricky when you give it to the mind, and you say, "Okay, mind, figure out this thing that was just said. How am I nothing?" And then mind says, "Okay, logically speaking, if you were nothing, it would mean this, but instead you remain with your selfless self."
I guess that's why, you know, I'm always writing down all my thoughts about these topics and stuff. And I'm always doing it with an aim, sort of like a, because sometimes it does release me into a sense of openness. And then I'll go back and read, okay, I wrote this particular page down while I was feeling really open and feeling like I was blissful or with selfless self or whatever. And then I'll lose that. I'll start identifying again. And then say a different day, I'll come back and start to read that. And I'm thinking it still doesn't, just the reading of it, even though all this, the writing down was supposedly explaining what selfless self and bliss is about, it doesn't bring about, because you're approaching it from a mental point of view, it doesn't bring about the bliss. Sometimes it can bring me back into it, but it's not necessarily, or usually it doesn't anyway.
Again, mind, ego, intellect, they want to figure it out. They want to box it. They want to make it logical. That's where you get into the fact that people saying, well, wait a minute, how were the five elements created? And so Das Bodh says, okay, if you believe yourself to be a body and you believe the illusion is, then this is how we'll explain the five elements being created. And then at the end, it says, of course, you are not body. So here, if you have the belief in being a body, this is how the world was created. Of course, the world is not actually created. There is nothing. But if you want to explain it to ease your mind that came along with the body, that you are not, this is how the world was created. That's how they talk about use one concept to remove a concept and then throw away both concepts. You believe yourself to be a body, so which came first, fire or wind? Well, we'll explain this, and then you know you're not body. But while you needed a logical explanation of something that was not, a logical explanation is given.
I asked my life partner today if the reflection in her mirror, if the reflection in the mirror were to get sick, would she be affected? It's kind of hard to contemplate that question, but she pretty much understood it. And then I continued, imagine the Atman in her, the consciousness in her being affected by this body, whether I feel pain or not. You know, I live with 24-hour pain, but I observe it. It's plastered on this consciousness, but I am beyond that. You know, Keith? And even though we live in pain, trying not to take painkillers and doing the right thing, the Atman, the real thing, the listener in you is not affected, you know? We got to look at it that way, you know? We're not the reflection. We're not the thing causing the reflection. And I think that's the way we need to deal with pain. That's, you know. Excuse me for intervening, Guruji.
No, it's all good. And just like I've heard about the sun and the sun and the rays, we give the attributes that the sun is hot or the sun is bright. But to the sun, there are none of these things. And all the things that are attributes, all these add-ons are not yourself. And yet when there's a belief in an add-on as something as myself, then a whole world is created. So you just remain with your selfless self. And that's why Maharaj says, meditation, meditate on the meditator until the meditator dissolves within the meditation. Concentrate on the concentrator until the concentrator dissolves within the concentration. Or the black hole, remain with the sense of presence until it burns. Just that's all you see is just this, just I, just I, just I. And then even that's released. And where all experience ends, there you are.
Yeah, I was just read a little thing about, it was the, happened to be a lady named Judith Blackstone, and she has a way of teaching, she called it process or something, and she was stating that that many teachers teach just from a kind of a mental approach of, you know, this, you are not the body, you don't exist, and all that kind of stuff. But she says they don't get to the that there's constrictions within the body don't get released just by that approach. And supposedly, I don't know what her approach is, I haven't looked into it, but supposedly she has approached it, supposedly releases the body constrictions besides the mental constrictions.
The only reason that you need to release the body is because you have the concept that you are a body. This concept is false. So if I create more concepts that need releasing for a specific path, that's why Sri Ramakant Maharaj says there is no path. You are at the destination, final terminus. So if I start to create this idea or these belief systems and start believing in them, that this is how I will realize myself, then the concept is definitely there, building very strong, that I am not this selfless self. That there is someone trying to be the selfless self. And in reality, this someone just needs to dissolve within the selfless self that you are. The highest teaching is to remain with your selfless self. And every time there's a question, remain with your selfless self. The answers come inside. The answers are, you will experience yourself directly. And how can any form thing be true?
This will probably be cut off fairly soon here.
Oh yeah, it'll be 1 minute, I think. And we'll all disappear.
It's always good to be with y'all.
Yes. Jaguru. One love. Jai Guruji. Jaguru. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Must be.